Oftentimes, words that are spoken have to be contextualized. I mean, the communication of words certainly can lend itself, but how they're positioned can immediately offer completely different communication. We know that from those wonderful things called bulletin bloopers, you know, where you have something said to the effect of, this second Sunday of Advent, we will be having a prayer service where we will be taking our sufferings before the Lord. Please come early and listen to the choir. You know, so when you hear those two things, it means exactly the opposite. There will be a meeting of the low self-esteem group this evening. Please use the doors in the rear. You know, or, of course, my favorite is the Weight Watchers group will meet. Please use the double doors to the right. So constantly, in terms of taking a look, we contextualize it and we place and we take a look at the communication. Here there's a communication from the figure of John the Baptist. Repent, repent, reform your lives, change, be different. And of course, John the Baptist is kind of a little bit like a rock star. We have people coming out, leaving the comfort of their own homes to see this figure. Are they listening to the words, or are they listening to what appears to them to be this eccentric prophet? The figure that I always love that depicts John the Baptist is Michael York's depiction in Jesus of Nazareth. He has all these wonderful people, people of means and wealth and influence, coming out to the desert to hear this prophet. And they come to almost a cave area where literally John the Baptist comes out of the cave, and he's perched a little bit of the top of everyone, so everyone is looking up, and he's walking back and forth, pacing back and forth, almost like a lion or a tiger in a cage that's looking at the people that are there to kind of see him. You know, in that depiction, there's an urgency about the message that has to be delivered. It seems almost like John the Baptist is insane. I mean, we're talking about camel's cloth and leather belts and eating locusts and honey. Here's the man who kind of points, and people are coming out there only to hear what? Reform your lives, be different, change. Your sinfulness is keeping an obstacle in the way of the Lord coming to you. Great prophet of John the Baptist. And he's literally a hinge from the Old Testament to the New. He's the last prophet of the Old Testament, the first and the only prophet of the New Testament. Those prophets that are prophesying the coming of the Messiah, because there's an urgency. The Messiah is coming among us. The Messiah is here. And he tells immediately that although I baptize in water for repentance, there is one who is going to baptize with the Holy Spirit, literally giving new life. Well, you see, John the Baptist is talking about the new creation that's coming from the Lord. But I think what we do is we scratch our head a little bit. We scratch our head because we say, what, this is the second Sunday in Advent. The Lord's coming at Christmas. Why does the liturgy now put the figure of John the Baptist, who's a contemporary of Jesus? I mean, this was his cousin. Remember the wonderful depiction of Elizabeth and Mary? And suddenly the great sense of John the Baptist even fulfilling his mission in the world in the womb of Elizabeth. Because remember what Elizabeth said, and when the mother of God came to me with her child, the child in my womb leapt for joy. But here we have the figure of the adult John the Baptist crying out. Well, the liturgy does something like most movie directors will do. Knowing the whole story, what they will do is oftentimes bring the figure back to emphasize the importance of what's coming, to let us know about how we should pay attention and why we should pay attention, because this is the one, and to understand the great significance that will happen at Christmas. And what does that demand from us? It demands a preparation. And here John the Baptist is telling us, it demands the preparation. It demands us to look at our own lives and make straight the path. What path is that? That path is the Lord coming into our interior lives, our spiritual lives, our lives that unite us with the Lord. And I say he is proclaiming a new creation because he is. Isaiah precursor in terms of the prophet, says that when the Lord comes, there's going to be a change. And what change is that? And he starts to give various things which totally should not be in the same context. A child playing with a snake, with an adder, with one that could poison? Never do that. And then the one that's a favorite that oftentimes gets the little bit of a nudge of humor is the leopard shall lay down with the kid. And most individuals say, but the kid kept his eye open all night. You know, there is that. These are things that we don't put together in the same context. And why is Isaiah saying that? Because it's a new order. It's a new age. It's a new sense. And what is the new sense? The new sense that Isaiah is talking about is the new Messiah coming among us. The Lord. Where we will truly achieve what God has established for us. And what is that? That is our eternal happiness in and through the person of Christ. And where does that happiness begin? Here and now in the acceptance of the love of Jesus into our lives. That the opposite is possible. Peace is possible. Hope is possible. The feeding of poor and the abundance, the sharing of abundance is possible. And how is it possible? It's possible not through the devise of ourselves, but in relationship to the love of Christ. And every action that we do, the performance of the good for our brothers and sisters and for our world that is united to the Lord, is united to a statement of God's love. So we listen to the cry of John the Baptist. Repent, reform. Take a look at your lives. Take a look at what we need to turn over to the Lord to make straight the path to our spiritual lives so that the Lord may dwell in us and we may see him clearly in our brothers and sisters in the world that surrounds us, that we may know the tremendous hope and possibility that is present when one experiences and demonstrates the love of Christ. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.